Blog Talk Radio.
You are tuned in to Paranormal Horizons, only on 106.5 KITC FM and Blog Talk Radio. Join your hosts, Jason Ophir and Pat Rice, as we delve into the world of the paranormal, the world of ghosts, UFOs, demons, and even Bigfoot.
Welcome to another episode of Paranormal Horizons here on Blog Talk Radio, KITC-FM, and KNCP-FM. If you're listening here tonight, Tuesday, thanks for tuning in live. And if you're listening on Saturday, we appreciate you tuning in to our syndicated show. I'm Pat Rice.
And I'm Jason Ophir.
Yeah. Hey, Jason, another week has flown by. I really enjoyed our show last week with Kelly Jo Monahan, you know, where we took live psychic readings.
That was a great show, and really, those trolls were really active.
Well, you know, everybody that does call in that's serious, they always get such an amazing reading from Kelly Jo.
Always.
And I had a couple of people, you know, that were friends of mine call in, as they have before, and they commented later, wow, that was just so right on what Kelly Jo told me. So always a big thank you out to Kelly Jo Monahan.
Absolutely. And that was by far the largest live listener turnouts that we'd have.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
It was huge.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, just, you know, if you're just tuning in, if you've never listened to Paranormal Horizons before, what Jason and I like to do is we like to talk about anything that's weird and unknown or maybe unexplainable.
Yeah, and in this world out there, there's definitely a lot that's unexplainable. So we love it. Anything unexplainable is good.
Yeah, you know, we've often talked about aliens, ghosts.
I think leprechauns even popped in there once or
twice. Fairies.
Fairies, yeah.
Yes, we've talked about that and Bigfoot, although we've yet to really have a really good expert about Bigfoot.
Yeah, I did put the word out, so I'm hoping that shortly we can have a Bigfoot expert.
Yeah, because I really like to talk about Bigfoot. I know you're more of a skeptic, but I kind of think he's really a real thing.
I'm a huge skeptic. I do not believe.
That's why we're good for each other.
Yeah, you got to have the good and the bad and the positive and negative. And I'm the skeptic on that.
Yeah. So I guess tonight's show, we don't have a special guest, but we want to invite people to call in if you want to talk with us about whatever we're going to talk about or any new subject, when the number is 215-383-3999. And is the chat room open tonight, Jason?
The chat room is open. But we do not want to take calls on 9/11, nightmares about root beer, bathtubs.
Or Shrek.
Shrek, yes. No Shrek showing up in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
We don't like those kind of calls.
Yeah.
I mean, they're amusing, but
I don't know how these guys get onto our show, but
Why do they target this show? Because I listen to a lot of shows,
know.
And I've never heard anyone get trolled so hard.
I guess they like us. I don't know. But, yeah, so, you know, this month, gosh, I can't believe it's already March, Jason, of 2015. You know, here we are, first week of March, and I have to be gone for a couple of our shows this month. you know, because doggone it, I have a real job. And I have to take care of some business, but I know you're going to keep going.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. I think the tentative plan is to have psychic Cheryl Ann Fletcher co-host, mm-hmm. I think.
That's going to be fantastic. And I do want to remind everyone that Paranormal Horizons, we also like to do a monthly show on paranormal parody.
Yeah, and that is absolutely hilarious.
Yeah, we've done a couple episodes. If any of you have tuned in, gosh, we had a guest, Bambi Hammer, quite an interesting character.
Or as I called Barbie Hammer, but it is Bambi Hammer, and she was a little offended by that.
Yeah, she gave you a hard time about that. And then, of course, we had Joe and Cynthia. Cynthia was an alien in a human body. But anyway, look forward to another paranormal parody / comedy show. And again, you can tune into this show at 10 p.m. Pacific time on KNCPFM.com, KITCFM.com.
Yes, we love being out on those stations. It's a great privilege to get our voices out there just a little bit more. And tonight, Pat and I were sitting here trying to figure out what we were going to discuss. And we came up with the idea of talking a little bit about something that we've never brought up on the show before, which is ghost ships.
I love that topic, Jason.
Yeah, I think I'm skeptical on that, too.
Well, but it reminds me of pirates. I mean, I love pirates.
You just said pirates and Johnny Depp popped into my head. Is that normal?
He's an actor, but
okay.
Yeah, but I know all the pirate movies, and there's been some good recently, or last year, there was a pirate show on regular TV that, of course, I can't even remember the name of it, but pirates are kind of macho. They're kind of like bikers.
Yes, bikers of the sea. I kind of like that.
Yeah.
So I would be a really good pirate back in the day.
I think so. Yes.
You even, arr, shiver me timbers.
Yeah. I mean, even your shaved head and, tattoos. And I could just see you carrying a sword.
I could totally rock it. I could rock the pirate.
Well, what's the story on ghost ships? What do you know about it?
Well, through my extensive research, not much, but I'm going to learn with everybody this evening because I have pulled up some information on ghost ships.
Okay, good.
So, again, I'm a skeptic. I don't know. I know that there's a lot of famous ones like the Flying Dutchman and stuff like that. But that's
but you believe in ghosts.
Yes. It's hard because there's so much fakery and fraud out there. I don't know what to believe anymore. But through my own paranormal investigations, I will say that I do believe that there are other forces out there that we're not aware of.
I agree. And I do agree that there's a lot of fakery and fraud and made up situations and stories. And there's so many shows now on TV about ghosts, Jason, that people, they can go nuts with that stuff. You know, they'll hear a little noise in their house. Oh my gosh, I have a ghost.
Yep.
You know, I need a paranormal investigator. But despite that, and I don't want to diminish anyone's concerns about, having a haunting or a spirit, but I definitely believe that there's spirits around and, good, bad ones. We don't want the bad ones.
No, bad's bad.
But I do believe in that, and we've talked to so many folks that have had real experiences, and like yourself, you're actually a paranormal investigator. You know, we've got an investigation coming up.
Oh, yeah, and that should be really interesting.
Yeah, it's going to be here in Oregon City. I don't know if our I don't want to throw out her name here on the radio, but it's someone that I recently met that we're going to be checking out and hopefully doing some live stuff on the radio.
That would be really exciting.
Yeah.
At the very least to, not give any personal identifiers, but to talk about it after we do it.
Exactly. That's what I mean. Like, we'll do the investigation and then, maybe she'll want to come on as a guest and we can talk about if we found anything or not. So.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Actually, there's a couple other investigations. And what I want to do also that we've talked about, we've done once before, is to go to one of these big public places and do a live show at an investigation like we did at the Edgefield out here in Troutdale, Oregon, in this really evil hotel room. And nothing nothing happened, but...
But it had a lot of history.
It has a lot of history. There was a lot of... I guess some people broke in and wrote down all this satanic stuff on the floor and just some really creepy stuff, like
yeah.
a demon dog in the closet and crazy.
Yeah, and it was an old site. And there's another, you know, that's one of the McMinimum's properties. And they have several of those in Oregon, if you're listening from out of the state. The McMinimum brothers, they take these old properties and they turn them into these really, you know, very popular, you know, beer pubs. Sometimes there's a little hotel, and the Edgefield was a bigger property and had, they even have a wine tasting room and so forth. But there's also another old school, not in Bend, because Bend, Oregon, they turned an old Catholic school into a property. But there's another one around us, Jason, that's supposed to be very scary.
Hmm.
So we're going to have to check that out, too. Even scarier than the Trout. Troutdale. Yeah. Sorry.
Well, the Edgefield's pretty spooky. I would say the White Eagle, which is a very old saloon that's connected to the world famous Shanghai tunnels in Portland. That's pretty spooky too. And I did. That was the first investigation I ever did, and actually got a little bit of evidence. So.
In the Shanghai? Or
no,
the,
actually, in the White Eagle that
at
is
the White Eagle
that is
okay.
attached to the Shanghai tunnels.
Yeah, I've heard of that before. We'll have to visit that sometime too. But well, give us the information that you've got on ghost ships.
All right. Well, Mystery, Fear, Enigma encompasses the seafaring ghost ships or phantom ship tales that has been passed around throughout centuries by sailors, anglers, and others. These mysterious ships are fantasized as spectral phantasms and materialize in the middle of the sea and disappear quickly, which is apparently a bad omen. So if you see one, you might want to paddle the other way.
Well, I hardly ever go out to the ocean. I look at the ocean, but I don't go in it. So
yeah. Well, when I was younger, I used to love swimming in the ocean, but I don't think back then I knew that ghost ships were around. So in addition, abandoned ships, which are found adrift, desolated under fearsome and cryptic circumstances, are also included in what we're going to talk about. So there are some strange episodes out there where these, you know, real ships were found floating with all the crew gone and no sign of what happened to them. And now that intrigues me.
Okay, that's weird.
Yeah, it's like 30 or 40 sailors suddenly disappear with no sign of foul play and the ship's just adrift in the ocean. So that's pretty weird.
That kind of sounds like Pirates of the... you know, the movies.
Yeah.
And one of my favorite rides in Disneyland was Pirates of the Caribbean. Although that was just a Disneyland ride.
Oh, that's a great
ride.
I love that.
I know.
I also like the haunted
house.
Now we got her started now.
Okay, sorry. Okay.
Now just don't start singing about It's a Small World, because then I'll really lose it here.
Okay, I'm going to shut my mouth because I know that one by heart too, but...
Okay, so I'll just kind of go through some of these more notable ghost ships out there.
Okay.
Now, I don't know that I can even pronounce these correctly, but I'm going to give it a shot here. So the first one we're going to briefly discuss is the Caliuche. Saying that right?
I think you did very well. Is that French?
I don't know. It kind of does
Spanish?
Sound French. Let's go with French.
Okay.
All right. It is a legend of the I think it's Chilean.
Okay, I like that.
It sounded French, though. Huh? It is the legend of the Chilota mythology, where it is described as a ghost ship which comes into being every night near the island of we'll have to look at that. Chiloli. So I don't know where that is. If that's Chile, I just assumed, but it could be a French island. It says the ship carries the spirits of all people who have drowned at sea. The Caliuche is strikingly beautiful, bright, and gay, as always surrounded by party music, sounds, and laughter.
Wow.
Yeah,
okay.
So there's a ghost ship with a bunch of partygoers on it, like a big rave on the ship.
I'd want to be on that one. Yeah.
Well, it only stays for a few moments and then suddenly disappears or submerges itself under the water. So it's pretty amazing. There is a party barge floating on the ocean somewhere with a bunch of party animal ghosts on a
water
ship.
Water spirits or something.
Yeah, water spirits.
Yeah.
So I don't know. That sounds a little far-fetched to me.
Well, I would agree. And it didn't give us any history of, like, if it was a ship that maybe sunk or, you know, when you talk about ghost ships, Jason, that's what I think about. I think it would have been a ship that sank or, you know, something happened, although your earlier description of ships that were just found with the crew completely gone.
Yeah.
Now, that's weird.
Well, it's a myth, but maybe it goes back to a ship that actually sank and they just don't know what ship it was.
Oh, it sounds like an alien abduction.
So party animals.
Yeah.
Party animals. Well, you know, those pirates are pretty much like to drink their rum. So maybe they just were getting hammered one night and sank and
decided to all jump into the ocean.
Yeah. Weird. Okay.
What's the next one?
The SS Valencia, 1906. The SS Valencia sank off the coast of Vancouver, British Columbia after encountering bad weather near the Cape Mendocino, and thereafter became the subject of mysterious ghost stories. Eventually, 37 of 108 people were saved via lifeboats, one of them suddenly disappeared. Since then, many fishermen have claimed to witness ghost ship sightings with human skeletons, even after decades after the sinking. So this SS Valencia sank, a bunch of people got away, but it looks like about 70-some people died, and apparently they see skeleton people floating.
But the ship
floating.
Actually... sank.
Yeah, this is a real ship.
Wow, sounds like the Titanic.
Yeah, I see skeleton people.
Yeah. By the way, if anybody wants to call in and if they have any information on any of these ghost ships or want to talk to us about it, you know, give us a call, 215-383-3999.
Absolutely. And I kind of don't have my face looking in chat right now, so I'm checking it periodically.
Okay, and then I don't know if on our list, Jason, the Titanic might be on the list tonight, but when you talk about a ship sinking, and it just seems like, you know, with the Titanic and other ships that we know about that have sank and all those people dying, that I don't know, there's got to be some kind of spirits or something around that. So anyway, go ahead. What's the next one?
I don't
know
that I've ever heard that the Titanic being a ghost ship.
I haven't heard of it as a ghost ship.
But a lot of people died on that. I think it was over 1,000 or something.
Yeah.
All right. Another one. Another notable ghost ship. The Kerang Medan. In 1947, two American ships, while passing through the Strait of Malacca, went off to a rescue mission after receiving a distress call from the Kerang Medan. The caller claimed to be a crew member and conveyed the message of death of everyone else on board. His words weirdly ended with, "I die." The rescuers found the ship unharmed, but the entire crew, including the dog, dead with terrified faces and expressions. Oh, wow, that sounds absolutely terrifying. What happened there? That could be UFOs.
Okay, yeah. So, wow.
And here's another interesting fact on that boat. Before further investigation could be conducted, the abandoned ship caught fire and exploded.
Oh, my gosh.
So they're saying that the probable reason the ship exploded was overexposure to nitroglycerin, which is what it was carrying illegally. But those are the ones that horror stories are made of. When you find a ship with a bunch of dead people and they have very scary faces. I don't know. Have you ever seen the movie The Ring?
I couldn't watch it. It was too scary.
Well, the girl comes out of the TV, you know, and they die. And then whenever somebody finds the body, their faces are all contorted in this terrified scream. That's what I'm picturing when I'm thinking of this ship.
Right. So go back up. So that was in what year? Did it say what year?
1947.
Okay, so 1947, and it was an American ship, and it was on a rescue mission. Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty bizarre.
They saw something pretty scary.
Yeah.
So maybe, who knows, maybe, I don't know how toxic nitroglycerin
is. That's what
maybe,
I was thinking.
Maybe there were just some fumes and they were getting high off the nitro. I don't know. Just inadvertent intoxication. Nitroglycerin
okay.
Intoxication.
We'll have to Google that.
Yeah. And okay. But 1947, I don't know how they carried nitroglycerin. I believe nitroglycerin is a very volatile fluid, so much so that if you hit it with a hammer or drop it, it'll blow up. I know that very old dynamite sweats nitroglycerin. So if you ever find old dynamite, you got to be careful because just bumping it can set it off.
I don't think I'll find any, but I'm glad you told me that.
Well, I watched a YouTube video where this guy, he found a very old suitcase and he took it home and he's videotaping opening the suitcase and he's lifting up all these old newspapers from the 80s.
Oh, wow.
And then suddenly it gets down to the dynamite and it was full of very old nasty dynamite.
Ooh.
So they called the bomb squad and everything and... Yeah, so just be careful. Huh. Be careful when you start digging in things that aren't your own.
Yeah, good point, Jason. All right, what's the next ship?
The Carol A. Deering. The ship ran aground in the notorious Diamond Shoals near Cape Hatteras, North Carolina, in 1921, where it was stuck for several days before any rescue team could arrive. Later, the Coast Guard found that the equipment, logbook, and two lifeboats were missing from the abandoned ship. The ship was otherwise undamaged.
Did they ever find the people?
Investigation showed that a few other ships had disappeared under mysterious circumstances around the same time, which could be due to pirates, mutiny, or extraterrestrial activity. Yeah, I think it's around the Bermuda Triangle, so that's another strange one.
Oh, I love talking about the Bermuda Triangle.
We'll have to do a show on the Bermuda Triangle.
Oh, man, that's fascinating.
Yeah, so...
Okay, so that was in North Carolina.
1921.
That's interesting. Okay.
Makes me not want to, like, go out on the Love Boat or, like, Carnival Cruise or anything, you know? Like, you never know.
Well, there's been some pretty weird things that have happened, too, recently on cruise ships, but...
The norovirus and everybody getting sick?
Yeah. Yeah.
Can you imagine going on a cruise and then getting a stomach virus?
That would just be such a bummer vacation.
Terrible.
You know, there you are going, you're thinking you're going to have the time of your life.
You're sitting there on the toilet the whole time.
Yeah. What a bummer. All right.
Here's another notable one, the Bay Chimo, built in the early 1920s. This is one of the real-life ghost ships, which was in 1931 became trapped in ice pack near Alaska, leaving no hopes for the owner, which was the Hudson Bay Company. So it was a ship that was trapped in ice and they had to abandon it. However, amazingly, it remained adrift for the next 38 years and was frequently sighted floating aimlessly in the waters off Alaska. So the boat got stuck in the ice. They abandoned it. And it must have freed itself at some point, so it's been, like, just floating around. So it's not a ghost ship in the sense of it's being spectral. It's an actual ship that's just, like, floating around.
I've never heard about that. Yeah.
They should have stayed on the boat.
Yeah, yeah. Well, if you're just tuning in here to Paranormal Horizons, myself, Pat Rice, and my co-host, Jason, we're talking about ghost ships. And lots of interesting stories about ghost ships, and we've got a few more to go through. Before we get to the next one, Jason, why don't we take one of our famous commercial breaks? And I just wanted to remind everyone that Jason loves making commercials. And if you have a show or a paranormal investigation company, we would love to make you a free commercial that you can use on your own show, and we will gladly play it on our show.
Yeah, it's free publicity.
Yeah, and again, you know, thank you for tuning in to Blog Talk Radio this evening, and the show can be heard on KITC-FM and KNCP-FM, and those are .coms, if you're listening on the internet, at 10 p.m. Pacific time on Saturdays.
Unless you're in Central Oregon driving in your car, you can
That's
pick
right.
them up, too.
Like Bend, Sun River, Lapine, Crescent, Madras. Then you can just tune in on your dial 106.5 or 107.3, which I love radio. I love listening to radio in my car.
And you used to be in the studio there, which is cool.
Yes, that's where I got my start.
That's where you got your amazing radio voice tuned in, where I sound all gruff.
No, you don't. But... Yeah, KITC-FM gave me a wonderful start in radio, and I so appreciate community radio and volunteer radio because it gives people like myself opportunities to do shows like Paranormal Horizons, or I had a rock and roll show for a long time, and nobody told me what music to play. I got to pick my own playlist.
You were like large and in charge.
Yes. Man, that's awesome. Was powerful, and it was fun.
If it was me, I'd be playing Iron Maiden the whole time.
Well, I did a lot of AC/DC.
That's okay. I'm not a big AC/DC fan. Too commercial.
Okay.
All right, so let's listen to a brief commercial.
The Order of Exorcists.
There is a lot of good in this world, but with good, you must have the duality of evil. There are dark forces out there. You might not see them or be able to sense them, but they are there, waiting to prey on your weaknesses. If you have a desire to help others in need that are dealing with these dark forces, you can check out the Order of Exorcists under the jurisdiction of Sacred Order of St. Michael the Archangel. The Order of Exorcists is looking for exorcist investigators. You will be trained to make first contact with the clients, conduct interviews and demonic investigations. Once that is completed, you will turn in an assessment for further action. If this sounds interesting to you, you can contact orderofexorcists.weebly.com for more detailed information.
All right, there you have it. Welcome back to Paranormal Horizons with myself, Pat Rice.
And Jason Ophir.
Yeah, and you know, that Order of Exorcisms is a great group, Jason.
Yeah.
Archbishop File, friend of Paranormal Horizons, he had a birthday last week.
Oh, we'll have to send him a
happy birthday. Archbishop File, even Catholic priests have birthdays.
You're not going to sing happy birthday?
No, please don't. I would if I knew he was listening, but yeah, so... Now, do we want to bring anybody else in here on the conversation, Jason?
Sure.
I think we have a caller.
Yeah.
Let's see who it is.
Okay, so here we go. Caller, you're live on Paranormal Horizons. Who's this?
Hello, Jason.
Hello.
It's Joey Giggles. How you doing?
Oh, it is. I didn't recognize your voice.
How are you?
Good. It's changed. You came across like super smooth. And
yeah, you were sounding really calm, Joey.
Really different.
Oh, I am really calm these days. I'm telling you, I am really calm and cool and collective these days. I'm really feeling good, you know, and just moving forward with everything. You know what I'm saying? So.
I do. I saw something that you posted on Facebook. I won't bring it up on live radio, but it did have something to do with a relationship. So maybe that's why you're feeling calmer.
Yeah. I mean, a lot less stress in my life.
Yeah.
A lot less stress in my life. You know? It's honestly, it's great. I love doing what I do. I love, you know, the radio. I'm going to continue what I do. And I think it's awesome. I just think the radio is just awesome, and I'm really happy that, you know, I have a radio show that is thriving. You know, it's really thriving. It's really doing well.
Right on. I love radio too, Joey. And thank you so much for calling in tonight. What do you think about ghost ships?
No, we're talking about two different kinds
of
ghost ships.
Oh man, well, ghost ships are really interesting. You know, I mean. You know, you gotta think about, you know, like the Titanic, you know, if you know, the Lusitania, you know, you gotta think about these cool ships, you know, that unfortunately, you know, a lot of people died on the ships, you know, but I mean,
right.
You know, I mean, you gotta think about, you know, the fascination of just a ghost ship, you know what I'm saying? It's just fascinating to know that there's, you know, the souls of these people that passed away, you know, on
right.
the ship, you know, and the energy is still there, you know.
Right, especially when it's, like, speaking of the Titanic, Jason and I were talking about that a little earlier. I've never heard of the Titanic being a ghost ship, but to your point, a whole lot of people died in that one event. So I would just think that in that place in the ocean where the Titanic went down, man, there's got to be some energy there.
How many ghosts are at the bottom of the ocean?
Yeah.
But there's two types of ghost ship. We're talking about the regular ghost, like a phantom ship. But what scares me more than like the ghost ship where it's like a phantom ship is an actual ship where like floating out there and everybody's dead. That's what scares me.
Like Pirates of the Caribbean.
Well, like, you know, like the one I was talking about with the people with the facial expressions in horror. And like, what happens to these people? You know, how does a whole crew die like that?
Yeah, the whole crew, like, dies, and then the ship is left out there just floating around, you know, and then it's like, you know, then you see this ship, you know, floating around out there, and you're like, oh, let me go and investigate, you know, and then meanwhile there's all this energy and stuff on the ship, you know, so I mean, like, you get a really, you know, I guess, intriguing look at, you know, ghostly energy at that point, you know, which is
cool. Well, let's go ahead and we've got a list here, Joey, that we're going down. Let's go ahead and go to the next one. Jason, this is another historic legend, if you will.
Yes.
Okay.
I love the name of this one. It's the Octavius. That's such a great name. Is that like Roman?
It sounds very Roman. Yeah.
The Octavius became more than just a legend back in 1775 when a whaling ship named the Herald found it aimlessly drifting off the coast of Greenland with all of its crew frozen dead by the Arctic cold.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, that's never a good thing. To add to the spooky environment, the ship's captain was found sitting at his desk with a logbook in front of him and finishing a log entry from 1762. Relating to this, this could mean that the Octavius has been while returning to England from the Orient via the Northwest Passage as a ghost ship. I don't know. That's
Okay, wait a minute. So in 1762, they froze to death, and then it had been floating around for 13 years?
Apparently. But that other one I was telling you about that was floating around, was I don't remember the one a few minutes ago, but it was floating off the coast of Alaska.
Oh, yeah.
That went adrift in 1931, I believe it was. That was last spotted in 1969.
Oh.
So that had to have been floating around for over 30 years.
That was the Baychino.
Wow.
The Baychino, yeah.
Yeah, the Baychino.
30 years, don't they, like, rust? I mean, what do you think?
Well, and I'm just baffled.
That's actually a good question.
That it would be so cold. I can't even relate to this, but that it would be so cold that they just froze to death, like the captain just froze to death at his desk.
That, you know, that doesn't make any sense at all.
Well, it could be that cold.
But sitting at your desk, I mean, if I'm freezing to death, I'm going to be in the corner covered with blankets or whatever, trying to keep warm, not sitting doing a log entry. Something doesn't smell right with that.
I don't know. I mean, I think I would just try to kill myself, but...
Oh.
I don't know.
Something's funny with that. What do you think, Joy? You think that it's possible for somebody to freeze in situ at a desk like that?
No, I believe more in cryonics. I don't believe in you know, people actually freezing in place. You know, I never seen it before. I mean, I'm gathering it could happen. I mean, look at the Iceman. You know, they found the Iceman, right? You know, and he had skin left on him and stuff like that. So, I mean, why not?
Mummy,
I mean,
that kind of mummy, or it wasn't really a mummy, but they found him in the, I forget which mountains, and he was just in his existing form, and he had just frozen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I guess it's cold enough.
Well, I know on Mount Everest, they never remove the bodies when you get towards the top, and there are a lot of people up there, dozens, that are frozen in place, but the difference with that is that, you know, a lot of times they were suffering fall injuries, and they couldn't make it off the mountain because of lack of oxygen. But sitting at your desk as a captain at sea level, that's not, you're going to have plenty of oxygen, so something sounds funky.
Well, but yeah. I guess if it was in the Antarctic, and I can only imagine you guys how cold it would be, and if they were there long enough and they had no source of heat and no choice, that could happen. Just freeze to death.
I'd set the boat on fire. I would be burning it until it wouldn't float anymore.
But maybe they didn't have any fire. It would be like sitting in a freezer. Jason.
Oh, I'll make fire. I have seen Survivor Man and Bear Grylls enough times to figure out how to make a fire. I'll make a fire.
Okay, good.
That's true. So Bear Grylls taught me how to make a fire too. Bear Grylls is
great. Right. So if I'm on a frozen ship, I hope I'm with you, Jason.
Oh, I'll be the total survivor,
okay,
man.
I'll
be riding dolphins and spearfishing and doing all sorts of crazy stuff.
Okay, that's right.
Thank God for YouTube. It's really given me a solid PhD education.
I know. You know what? If I had to, I would burn my clothes.
I would light my farts on fire if I had to. You do what you got to do.
You can do that, though. You can do that. That's
absolutely
interesting how you can. It's gas. It's gas, so it'll be flammable.
Okay. Now, that's a guy thing. All right. So that was the Octavius.
Yes.
In 1775. Okay. What's next?
Here's another one with a good name. The Joy Eta. Something tells me there's not going to be a lot of joy with this one. In 1955, yeah, I know, right? In 1955, this fishing and charter boat was found abandoned in the South Pacific 5 weeks after it had been reported overdue. So it had been reported overdue for about 5 weeks, been missing in 1955. The air search mission could not trace it until a merchant ship found it drifting almost 600 miles off its original source.
Wow.
With no sign of crew or cargo. There was a doctor's bag with several bloody bandages on the deck, and a radio was turned to the universal distress signal, but what actually happened there was never revealed, as none of the crew was ever seen. So that's another one with crew missing.
And it doesn't say how many people were on the ship, though.
It was probably a fishing charter boat. I don't know.
Yeah, but we know in the South Pacific they didn't freeze to death.
Yeah, probably not. Yeah, I don't think...
I mean, it's kind of interesting how the crew just disappears. You know, it's kind of interesting, you know, how does a crew just disappear? I don't know. Yeah.
So that's
a good question.
Well, and especially if the ship is still intact. I mean, so the ship is floating around. It's not wrecked or anything. So
Somebody was obviously hurt, but where... I mean, I suppose there could be like this murder-suicide thing going on, but...
True.
That's kind of unusual.
Yeah.
Do you think it could be like Jaws, like a big shark coming up and eating them all?
Probably not.
Okay.
I'm going to go probably
just checking.
Big
just
no.
Checking.
Big shark, a giant. Summon the Kraken. Not the Kraken.
Summon Megalodon. Megalodon will come and eat them.
Yeah, a Megalodon shark came up. Like in those really bad B movies where you have the terrible CGI effects where this 2D shark comes out of the ocean.
Right.
No, I don't think so.
All right.
Well, that's like that sci-fi show, Sharknado. You haven't seen that? I don't know if you've ever seen that.
Oh, it's so terrible.
Yeah.
It's so bad, it's funny.
Yeah, well, you got to watch it because it's so bad, it's funny.
Yeah. All right. So, so that was a ship, 1955 in the South Pacific, where the crew just disappeared, and obviously they never found out why. So, all right, what's the next one?
The Lady Lovey Bond. Where do they come up with these names?
That's
Lovey
a good one.
Bond.
Yeah, Lovey Bond.
L-O-V-I-B-O-N-D.
Oh, wait, I actually think I figured out where this name came
from.
I want to
name my next dog that.
This is more of a story. I don't think this is an actual... ship left adrift. But,
okay, go ahead.
It's an interesting story of love, jealousy, and rage. And it's the tale of a haunted ship in 1748. The day before Valentine's Day, it was set sail as a celebration of the ship captain's wedding. Nevertheless, his friend, who was too in love with her, out of vengeance, steered the ship into the notorious Goodwin Sands, sinking it and killing all on board.
Wow, that's just mean.
So ever since then, it could be seen every 50 years sailing around Kent. It was seen in 1798, 1848, 1898, and 1948. That's when it's been witnessed. It was so obvious that it, when it was spotted, that people actually sent out boats to rescue people, assuming it was a boat in distress. But when they went there, it just could not be found. So there was not a confirmed spotting in 1998. So it continues to be a legend. So there's a, creepy shit.
So does it say where that happened, Jason?
It does not.
Oh, okay. Wow, that's interesting.
Wherever Goodwin Sands is, and I have no idea where that is.
I don't know either, but...
I have to Google it.
Yeah, that sounds interesting. To me, it sounds like it's somewhere on the East Coast, but...
Love, it's
I never
got
heard
everything.
Of it.
I don't know. I'm going with that could be true, you know. That I mean, this woman, you know, takes the ship into, a horrible, you know, death for all those people. They're, those spirits could be powerful enough to bring that ship back.
Yeah, it's kind of like, well, I was going to make a reference to Goonies, but I guess it's kind of not. Goonies would be one of those instances where it's a real ship and not a ghost ship. You know, where Goonies, where it was in this cavern and then the walls fell down and the Goonie ship started floating out at the end of the movie.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I remember.
Yeah. That would be like a real a ghost ship in the sense of it being real.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Let's move on from the Goonies.
I love the Goonies. Come on.
Come on. All the right. Goonies were actually good. I enjoyed that movie.
Okay.
That was a great flick.
Yeah.
So here's one that everyone or a lot of people would have heard about. The Mary Celeste, probably the most famous real-life ghost ship story, embraces and surrounds the Mary Celeste. Found adrift in the Atlantic Ocean in 1872 in a completely unharmed condition with all its sails still up, the crew's personal belongings intact, and the cargo hold of over 1,500 alcohol barrels untouched. If I was on there, they wouldn't be untouched.
Wow.
I would be touching them. The only thing missing were the lifeboat, the captain's logbook, and most importantly, the entire crew. Since pirate attack could not be held responsible, so there's no evidence of a pirate attack. There were a lot of theories that flew around, such as mutiny, water spouts, which is basically a tornado on the water, and consumption of poisonous food leading to madness. So those were all things that were circulating around the Mary Celeste.
So it sounds like they, for whatever reason, got in the lifeboats. They got off of the main ship, the Mary Celeste, because it said the lifeboats were missing.
Yep.
Went out into the ocean, and then whatever happened to them from there, but nobody knows why they did that. That's pretty weird.
I think I saw some documentaries, and there were some theories about the alcohol fumes and... I don't know, but I don't think there's anything to substantiate that. That's another instance of just kind of a weird maritime thing that happens.
Yeah. Did it say where they were? So they were in the Atlantic Ocean. I'm just wondering if it was like a long trip. And because you know how you hear about, you know, sailors and, you know, back in the day being on the ships and they would get scurvy and,
yeah,
you know, things like that could, cause some.
1872, they were probably still worried about scurvy.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was a lot of different diseases back then. There was a ton of different diseases back then. So it could have been, you know, these diseases wiped out the people on the ship. I mean, that's Could be it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, maybe there was a rash of leprosy or something. That was
smallpox.
Smallpox, yeah. What was big in 1872? That was before the big flu, right?
Definitely, I think smallpox.
I think it was like the smallpox, the measles, you know, stuff like that, you know, were pretty prevalent, you know, back then, you know, because there was no vaccines back then, obviously, you know. So.
Right.
Well, I'm a hypochondriac, so if I got like a head cold, I'd probably jump off the ship. So, it wouldn't take much for me to get in a lifeboat and be like, I'm out of here. If like somebody got sick with the flu or ate a bad seagull or something, I'd be out of there.
Do you know how to swim?
I know how to swim,
okay,
but
so
not very far.
Swim.
It's more of a dog. It's more of a modified doggy paddle.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
actually,
I with swimming, I'm pretty good. I'm pretty good with swimming, but not long distances. You know, actually swimming actually, you know, is good. You know, for me anyway, physically, it's good for me to go in the water and swim. You know.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. And you know, if I were to jump off the ship per se, I could swim a little while, but I don't know, in a big body of water, I don't know. You know.
Well, you know, Joey, I like swimming in a pool, but not the ocean.
Oh. Well, swimming in a pool is a lot better, yeah. I mean, like, you can do
yeah,
laps in a pool.
You don't know what...
In the ocean, there's a lot of things to worry about in the ocean.
Exactly. There's all these creepy things,
oh,
you know,
yeah, totally
like
creepy.
Touching your legs. And what if there was a shark, you know, that and they're just going to kill you, right, and eat you and...
Did you hear about that story several years ago? There was a group of scuba divers that went out, and so they went through their dive and everything. Well, the whole group, except for two people, left two people and forgot about them and didn't realize that they were missing. So they left, and these two scuba divers were left in open water for like days, and they ended up getting eaten by sharks. That's so terrible.
Oh
man.
Well, and I've heard that the sharks go after the scuba divers, or even sometimes the surfers that have the black wetsuits on,
mm-hmm.
because they think it's a seal.
They think it's a seal, right.
Yeah, but a lot of times sharks aren't that interested in, you know, the human, unless there's already some blood around, then they kind of go into a feeding frenzy, but yeah, anyway.
Yeah, I don't get. I heard that you put like a drop of blood in the water, and they can like smell it for miles. How does that even work?
Oh yeah, that's the Lorenzini thing they got on the tip of their snout that basically directs them to where the blood is. You know, it's actually a sixth sense type of thing that they have. Sharks have like a sixth sense, you know, and that particular organ. I forgot the full name of it, but the last name of it is Lorenzini. And basically, it's on the tip of the snout. And what happens is that the blood is dropped in, or the chum, or whatever it is dropped into the water. And they'll come from miles around because they'll smell it, you know, because of,
right.
of this particular sense that they have.
Well, I'm sure I don't have that organ, being that I'm in phlebotomy right now.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I actually learned that from Shark Week, because I'm a big Shark Week guy, you know. So I learned that. I learned like the whole anatomy really of a shark, you know, and
pretty
stuff
amazing.
Like that. Yeah.
Right, because that's how they have to survive. They have to eat. So, yeah, interesting.
So we have one more. I'll go over real quick.
Okay.
And this is another one that probably the most famous out of all of them that I've talked about this evening: the Flying Dutchman. In maritime folklore, yeah, this one's out there a lot. In maritime folklore, the ghost ship has been left I can't even read straight right now. Basically, it's had more impact on any other ghost ships, and it's inspired more paintings, films, books, operas, everything. It was on its way to the East Indies, and with sheer determination, the captain tried to steer his ship through the adverse weather conditions of the Cape of Good Hope, but failed miserably even after vowing to drift until doomsday. So this captain was hell-bent on getting past the Cape of Good Hope. Legend says that since then they have been cursed to sail the oceans for eternity. So that's one that I guess is cited all the time.
Well, and there's a picture of it online. It's a beautiful ship. But does it say, Jason, did it sink?
It didn't say if it sank. Just people, like fishermen, sailors, seem to have seen it
mm-hmm.
continually all the time.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, I was going to ask Joey and Jason, have either of you ever been to Hawaii, to Pearl Harbor?
No. I haven't.
No, I haven't, no.
Well, I had the opportunity to go there a few years ago, you know, and they have a wonderful memorial that they created, you know, for the, you know, all the ships that were bombed.
Is it that white thing? Because I saw that on the Brady Bunch, when the Brady Bunch.
Yeah, white thing is the memorial. Oh. And you go in there, and they have this very, you know, very well done, sad, you know, information about, you know, when the Japanese came and bombed and everything. And then from there, you go out on a smaller boat, and then you can see these ships that are still mm-hmm. sunk. And I know that wasn't on our list as ghost ships, but when I was there, I mean, I felt, you know, you kind of get caught up in the moment because, you know, you feel sad about what happened and all the, you know, hundreds of men that died. But there's been, and I've had the opportunity to go to Hawaii a few times, and there are some of the locals that do believe, though, that there are the spirits of the, you know, of a lot of the, you know, military guys, you know, hanging around. And that culture, you know, in Hawaii too, you know, they're very big on, you know, spirits. And it's not like they're all walking around, you know, saying they see ghosts all the time, but they're very respectful, you know, about all of that. So that's kind of another interesting, you know, part of history.
Yeah.
That actually happens. So.
My only knowledge of Hawaii is from that Brady Bunch episode where he found this this cursed tiki, and all the bad the bad things started to happen. That's my exposure.
Oh,
I don't
okay.
know anything else about Hawaii.
You need to go experience the sand.
Okay.
isn't the museum built on top of the SS Arizona?
Yeah. And you can still see part of the Arizona, too. So, yeah, but, you know, and I did that years ago, and then I was just in Hawaii in January earlier this year for a very much-needed vacation and with a friend who had never been there. And I said, hey, do you want to go to, you know, Pearl Harbor and see it all? And she didn't want to because she felt it was so sad. And I was like, you know what? I'm good with that. Once is enough, because it is really sad. It's very, very well done. And I was actually there. It was the Pearl Harbor anniversary. And they had a big parade that came downtown, and there was all these military people around. And so we watched the parade and, you know, kind of honored that part of it. But It once was enough for me, you know, because it's pretty, when you're actually there in a place where so many people died, I really felt the energy, you know, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there had to be a lot of energy there. I would guess there was a ton of energy there, right? You know, I could only imagine what you felt, you know.
Yeah, Joey, and it was really... Like I said, they do a very wonderful tribute, you know, to what happened there. And again, when there's anything like that, like even, you know, we've been talking about ghost ships tonight on Paranormal Horizons, but also even plane wrecks, you know, where these ships, you know, planes have gone into the ocean. And I read once or heard, kind of from a psychic karmic level, that when groups of people die together, that they've made a karmic or a predisposed agreement when they come onto this earth that's something they're going to do together. They're going to die together. I mean, I know that sounds kind of crazy and bizarre, but just saying what I read.
Sounds like the Final Destination movies where they cheated death and all of them like die with close proximity to each other.
Yeah, but anyway, there's just got to be, you know, anytime anything like that happens, you know, catastrophic of a lot of spirits, you know, dying together. So it's just like the Titanic. We talked about that earlier. I just think there's got to be some energy around that. So, yeah, good conversation tonight, you guys.
And it looks like we're running out of time.
I know.
Time flies when you're talking about ghost ships.
Hey, Joey, what do you got coming up for your shows?
Actually, I'm off this week. Got a lot of things going on with JGF, filling out applications and stuff. But we come back next week with a couple of new shows. We got a new show called Technoversity, which is about technology. New technology show we got coming on. And that's
on
Wednesdays.
Sounds interesting.
Yeah, that's on Wednesdays. That's Wednesday the 11th, the 18th, and the 25th. That's 3 to 4:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Then we have our usual shows. We have our Lupus and You show, which is on Thursday the 12th. And we have our Chronic Pain Connection show, which is the following Thursday, about 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And then we have our other satellite channels, which we actually have now. We have the Author's Nook channel out there on TalkShoe. We actually have also, we have a new health and wellness channel on TalkShoe. And we also have a new paranormal channel out there on Podomatic. So we are growing at the speed of light here. And we're happy to have Jason on board. Jason is our JGF Entertainment director, so we're happy to have him on board with that, and he helps us with our voiceovers and everything, and he's blessed with that. I tell you, he's really good, you know, with the voice and really good with those voiceovers. So we got a couple more voiceovers for you to do, and so on and so forth. I'm really excited, and I'm always excited to come to Paranormal Horizons. I love it here.
Well, we love to have you, Joey, and I'm so congratulations on all of your shows, and I tune in to your shows as I can, and of course, you know, everybody has busy schedules, but where can someone go to find out about all of your shows? Is there a website?
We are actually creating a website now for WIRN. We just purchased the domain, so
great.
In purchasing the domain now, we will have a whole area where people could go to just click on a link and then go right to the show. We'll also have on that page the archives of all our shows. We've almost done 500 shows right there on Blog Talk Radio, almost. And not to brag, 92,000 listeners that come to the station, you know, and I'm really proud of that, you know, and I want to share that with you guys. I really want to share that with Paranormal Horizons, you know. Because you guys are great, too, and I want to bring, you know, I'm happy we have Jason on board, and it's just awesome. It's just great, you know, being a part of all of this and creating all of this, and, you know, I got my second chance. I got my second wind, you know, and this was my second wind, you know.
Right on,
you know, with the injury, I came out of that, and I said to myself, oh, this is what I'm going to do with the rest of my life, and I want to make money with it one day, yeah. And it will happen, and all you guys are coming with me because I love you guys. I think you guys are great, and I love coming to this show, too, and being a part of this
show
as well.
Thank you, Joey.
Yeah, thank you, Joey.
And, you know, Joey, it's like you touched on this earlier, too. You know, radio, I've always just been a person where when I grew up, we listened to radio and we listened to music and, you know, TV wasn't a big part of our life. TV's changed, obviously, and there's so many things to watch. But, you know, if I had to make a choice, I'd rather have my radio than my TV, you know, because I just think there's just so many great shows. You know, you can attest to that. You've got shows and what an exciting time to be alive with technology. And you've got your show coming out, Technoversity. Is that, am I saying that correct?
Yeah, Technoversity, a new technology show. Yeah.
Yeah, and technology is just so exciting because if we didn't have the internet, we would not have the opportunity to have our show. So
I don't know what I'd do. I don't even know how I got through my younger years.
You know, I honestly wouldn't have met all you great people. I wouldn't have met Jason. I wouldn't have met you, Pat.
Right.
I wouldn't have met any of these great people if it wasn't for the internet. You know,
exactly.
So, I mean, it gives people a chance to meet one another, you know, from around the country and get to know one another, you know, even though we can't see each other every day, you know, we talk to each other on the shows, we talk to each other on the phone, we talk to each other on the internet. And to me, everybody that I talk to wholeheartedly is a friend, you know, you know, and so on and so forth from there. You know, I try my best and I try to respect everybody, you know, sometimes it's hard to do that. You know, but I do that. I try to respect, and sometimes it's very hard to do that. But
well,
we
feel the same way, you know.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You know what? And you never know, Joey. There may be a day when we get to meet in person, and I look forward to that. So
We are running out of time. Joey, have a great evening, and thank you for participating with us this evening here on Paranormal Horizons on Blog Talk Radio, KNCP.com, and KITCFM.com.
Yeah, thank you, Joey, for calling in.
You're welcome, guys. Always a pleasure, my friends. Always a pleasure.
All right. Good night.
Night, Joey.
Good night. Good night.
All right. That was great, Jason. I love talking about, you know, the ghost ships and just topics like that about, again, you know, weird, unexplainable things that may or may not be true, but that's what we like to talk about. We're just kind of throwing out the information there for people to think about in their mind.
And I think I'm going to stay off the water because...
Okay.
You know, if that stuff was happening back then, it probably still happens. I mean, you have that airplane, that Malaysian flight that just disappeared. Like,
I know.
How does that happen today in today's
sometimes
technology?
I don't even want to fly anywhere.
Yeah, I hate flying. Like, when I get on an airplane, I just assume it's going to crash, and I make peace with myself and God and everything. But now I'm starting to feel that way with ships.
Well, I have very seldom been on a boat, and... Even though I love the water, but like I told Joey, I prefer to be in a swimming pool.
Swimming pools even. I mean, I love swimming like in the river and stuff, but like I couldn't swim in a swimming pool at night because I have to be able to see the bottom. And it's weird because I'll do it with rivers, but it still creeps me out in rivers too.
Oh God, I would be really creeped out, yeah.
I'm always afraid. I'm not afraid of like any animals, but in the back of my mind, when I'm swimming like in a river, I'm just picturing like somebody that drowned and like bumping up against their arm.
I know,
arm
it's
or
like what you can't see.
Yeah, exactly.
Or something, you know. So, yeah, anyway, hey, next week we're going to have another great show. Tune in on Tuesday at 7 p.m. Pacific time. And if you're listening here on Saturdays, thank you for tuning in to the replayed show of Paranormal Horizons with myself, Pat Rice.
Jason Ophir.
Good night. We'll talk to you next week.
Good night, everyone. Thanks for coming.
You have been listening to Paranormal Horizons with your hosts, Pat Rice and Jason Ophir. Be sure to come listen to the show next Tuesday at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, only on Blog Talk Radio. And also, check out our Facebook at Paranormal Horizons on Facebook.